Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome to Brain Injury Radio Network. Tonight is our regular Wednesday installment of our program Recovery Now with your host, Kim Justice. If you'd like to know more about my story, you can find it at inaflash.org. I, too, am a fellow traumatic brain injury survivor. I appreciate you tuning in tonight, and as always, I look forward to your input. So now, we'll get on with the show. Well, hello, and happy hump night from somewhere in Middle America. Want to welcome you all here tonight. I can't believe that it's April already. It certainly doesn't feel like it where I live, but it's nice that spring is just about here where I'm at. Hopefully there's some blooms where you are, but I'm looking forward to the life and the color and all of the things that come after a long winter. So happy you're here tonight. For those of you who are new around here, Recovery Now is a gathering place for anyone seeking recovery from the challenges of life on life's terms. Guests share their experience, strength, and hope. We discuss useful tools that have helped us lighten the load of our journey through recovery. More will be revealed. This is a we recovery program because it is in the we that we find the new me. We focus on the four A's of recovery: awareness, acceptance, action, and adaptation. This is a place for survivors striving to become thrivers, and for that of warrior. So last month, as most of you know, is Brain Injury Awareness Month, and we were saturated in brain injury topics, as a network like this often is. The only requirement, though, some of you might not know, is that the hosts have to be brain injured who are here at this network. Our guests, not necessarily so, and our topics, not necessarily on that. Now, April is also Parkinson's month, and I'll be talking about that later in the month, but April is also sexual assault month, and there's been, our guest will tell us more, but sex trafficking has been something that has gone on for a long time, but it was kind of in the background. You weren't hearing as much about it, and then the Jeffrey Epstein story and the trial of Maxwell had come up recently and really brought the topic to light. And we're hearing about the border, whatever side of the fence you're on, and you always hear fentanyl, sex trafficking in the same sentence when talking about that. And so now suddenly there is a lot more light shining on that topic. And since this is Sexual Assault Month and I had the opportunity to be able to have this wonderful guest, I was just telling Jan, and I'm going to bring her on in one second, that what I've seen are a lot of programs that have to do with recovery, getting people out of girls a lot of times, sometimes guys, out of the trades and putting them through a recovery process, much like I was talking about in my introduction. But as all of us know here in brain injury land, or anyone who's been sexually assaulted before, that you can go through recovery and with a lot of luck and faith and hope and help be able to create a life worth living and move forward. But those are scars that are always deeply imprinted. And what I really appreciate about my guest tonight is she's working on the other end, which is prevention. And if something doesn't happen, then you don't have to get over it. And you don't have to wear those scars for the rest of your life. And so I'm very appreciative of the work that she's doing. And I know that most of you out there have children, no children, no parents, no law enforcement, no teachers, people who are instrumental in being able to help with prevention if they know how. So I thought this was a very important show to be doing, and that's what we're going to be talking about tonight. Jan Edwards, excuse me, I got a frog. We've had 40 mile an hour winds for 2 days, and we're going to have them for another three. You go outside and like you don't want to carry an umbrella. It's that kind of a blowing inside out, but I'll start over. Jan Edwards is the founder and president of Paving the Way Foundation, an organization that is a fierce disruption in the cycle of child trafficking around the globe. This is accomplished through educational and training programs that empower communities to break the cycle. Paving the Way has educated over 16,000 youth and adults in the past 4 years. Ms. Edwards has been featured on TV, podcasts, radio shows, as an influencer on prevention education. Jan has been awarded Orlando Magazine's Woman of the Year, Woman on the Rise Community Impact Leader in 2019, and Non-Governmental Agency of the Year 2021. She's also the chairperson for the Seminole County Human Trafficking Task Force. Jan is the writer, co-director, and producer of the award-winning film Trapped in the Trade, which won Best Script in the London Indie Short Film Festival and was featured on CNN. For more information on Jan, and as those of you who are regulars know, I always put the relevant website in my program notes. So if you're not sitting by a pen, we'll be mentioning this through the show and always in my program notes. But pavingthewayfoundation.org or trappedfilm.com, which I encourage you to see. I did, and it's really an eye-opener. I had no idea. You hear what you hear on the news, but Dory, and it's sad, it's tragic, it's an eye-opener, and it makes you want to be part of the solution and not part of the blind eye. With that, I'm very glad to bring on Jan Edwards. Welcome to the show. Thanks so much for coming.
Thank you so much for inviting me. I have the opportunity to do this all over the country, okay? And it's just really fun to talk to people around the globe about something that's as important as this and that I'm as passionate about. And knowing that your conversation and my conversation is going to make a difference and potentially save lives.
Absolutely. And we do go to all 50 states, 49 countries. The show is live to archive. So once we do it, it's out there forever. And a lot of people listen to the show. Probably 150,000 people will listen tonight, and it's late for a lot of people. And so squared, especially in a topic like this, an eye-opening topic, there'll be a lot of people listening after tonight in the on demand. And so I feel very fortunate myself that we, you know, there's some things about technology we're going to talk about that I'm not happy about, and I'm sure you're not happy about, but in this particular case, the, you know, the wide reach we can get to try to fight that is a blessing. It's one of the times I have something good to say about
absolutely. And you know,
some of the technology.
Something you said, you said earlier, and that I think is just so important, is this is something we can actually do something about. You know, I can't cure childhood cancer. I can't fix the prices at the gas station or the grocery store. I can't make people think or say or do what someone else thinks they should think or say or do, right? Can't do that. But by golly,
right,
through having this kind of conversation, we can save a life. That's
well, yes, and exactly. And this doesn't have to do with that. I'm going to shift for just one second, but I did a show that wasn't favorable toward social media last month or so. And one of the things I was talking about were, and I've never been a member of it or been on it, I read an article about it, but it was the TikTok challenges. And there were 23 things. And, you know, this being Brain Injury Radio and last month being Brain Injury Awareness Month, I was talking about the effects, the impact of social media, and I found 23 of these challenges easily that were things that can kill or disable someone for life. And first of all, the fact that that's even on there, I found repulsive, you know, horrible. But the other part that made me equally sick is the comments underneath that this brainwashing people don't know is going on that is well studied, scientifically studied and implanted in this social media in a lot of cases. They planned it, is that they're grooming people to think it's funny to see kids getting hurt, you know, like kicking the legs out from underneath somebody on the pavement, you know, so they wind up with a fractured skull or dead or with something that's going to disable them the rest of their life, as if that challenge isn't sick enough. Seeing 100 comments underneath it of people thinking that that's funny. And then I made a bad assumption that most of them had to be ignorant kids. There was actually ignorant adults, you know, that thought this was funny. And I thought back of that, what was that, Grand Theft Auto or something. And off topic, and I'm going to come back to you, but these are kind of the same things. People don't realize what is being done to them without them even knowing it, and we're going to lead into that with yours. But, you know, with Grand Theft Auto, that objectified people. It made
points for raping people.
And crime, you know, that it's without consequence, that it's okay, that it's a rush, an adrenaline rush. I mean, just totally against any values that we ever had in the past of what's right and what's wrong. And so, you know, that was a three-prong fork for me doing that show was, A, the challenges that's even allowed, B, that people are being groomed to think that kind of stuff is funny, and C, that somebody is creating a company and putting science into the goal of keeping people online to do exactly the first two things that I mentioned. It's Mm-hmm. It's incredible that it's even allowed. And again, that's another reason, and now we'll get on your topic, but that's just, you know, a little more background for people out there, if you didn't hear that other show, that this is premeditated. You know, these social media companies are paying money to keep you online, and if they were doing something that enhanced your life or cemented values, you know, good values that were going to make you happy and healthy, it would be one thing. But when the goal is to make human harm of any kind,
exactly,
harming people, your object to get advertisers, that's really sick. And I mean, that's sick, and I can't believe that it's not criminal. And so tonight is
going to
be an extension of that.
We're working on it. There's a bill that we're working very hard to get passed in the House and the Senate that will hold big tech accountable, finally. And
boy, I hope,
you know,
so. They keep skating.
Yeah.
They keep skating,
mm-hmm,
but I sure hope so. I couldn't believe it when I saw
goal.
That Zucker.
That is our goal and our mission.
Well,
so,
if there's anything we can do, if you need signatures or if there's anything I can do, get a hold of me off air. I feel so strongly about it. I just, life is hard enough, you know, and we're going to be talking about,
mm-hmm,
kids, and, you know, I remember, I'm long in the tooth, but I remember, you know, thinking I knew something, you know, and I didn't know anything,
right,
until it was too,
right,
late, you know, and there were some pretty,
yeah,
serious consequences. And I really hope that the bill does get through, because I can't think of people that deserve to be slapped more than these social media companies that are doing this. Well, when I saw that Zuckerberg wants to sue TikTok, you know, they're having a little infield fighting, you know,
mm-hmm,
between them. And definitely there are things I hate about Facebook most of all. I haven't been, like I said, but the challenge thing is horrible. And I thought, boy, that's funny, because I've really strongly disliked Zuckerberg for a long time, but I had to laugh when I saw that his feathers were ruffled over TikTok and he wanted to do something about them. And I thought, now, wouldn't that be nice if they kind of self-destructed each other? You know, because Congress hasn't had a lot of luck. You know, Congress is, you know, for our sake, putting on a dog and pony show, but nothing's getting done about it,
mm-hmm,
you know, except,
mm-hmm,
to make us feel like something's getting done about it. And then they go on and do more of the same and make community standards that they break in spades, you know, themselves,
yeah.
Which really blows me away. You know, it's one thing to have community standards and hold, you know, the people participating accountable to community standards that they don't abide by themselves.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, I don't know, it's just really an incredible thing. But anyway, that being said, and listeners now having an idea of what we're going to be talking about and hopefully paying attention, because, you know, whether you're younger, you're older, you've got a brain injury, you don't, it's very easy to, well, to be led down a path and be buried before you even know that you were digging a hole.
Exactly.
Very scary, you know, what can be going on in the background that subliminally is triggering and training us to do and think different ways, you know. And we've even seen a lot of it the last, you know, COVID was a time that people were spending and COVID isn't over. I want to keep continuing to say that. But in the first 2 years of COVID, you know, people were spending a lot more time on social media. And, you know, that's probably another trigger about what's going on, because not only were they on social media and the internet a lot more, but also feeling more isolated and lonelier, mm-hmm. because we weren't having the same kind of social interaction, and it just became easy, you know. And when I first logged on, I've been doing this since 2012, and that was when I started social media, because I understood that it was the 21st century way of marketing.
Right.
I had been a financial consultant for 25 years, and I was like, okay, they don't send out reply cards or any of that stuff anymore. I guess I'm going to have to, you know, give away atlases. We're not doing that now. So I guess I'm going to have to join some of the social media stuff. And you know, at first it was fun, you know, seeing relatives and classmates I haven't seen, all the things that they sell you on in the first place. But I have an addictive personality, and I felt that tug early. I could tell.
Mm.
You know, I just knew. I intuitively knew with my addictive personality and being through recovery on a couple different levels that they're doing this. this is
mm-hmm.
as bad as anything else you can get addicted to. In that moment, I turned off any kind of notifiers, and I always have to explain this to people so they don't think I'm ignoring them when they private message me, and I like to take these opportunities to say it, is that I check my email in the morning, and I look at Facebook to wish anybody happy birthday, but I don't have notifiers, and I'm only on Facebook for a short time once a day. And my decision was based in who's going to control who, because I can see it would be very easy for people to be controlled by the computer, and there's a whole life going on out there, for God's sake. You know, a lot of us here in Brain Injury Radio Land almost lost our lives. So do I want to spend, you know, my life was spared. Do I want to spend the rest of it in a cyber world or the real one, you know? I say the real one. And, you know, so the less I'm on social media, the better. Good to check in, great place to check in, but not to make your new avocation lifestyle revolve around or otherwise. And so one of the challenges I put out during the challenge show was challenging people to cut their Facebook time in half for a week and see if they jonesed over it. And if they did,
well, and see if they feel better.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See if they feel better.
Exactly. Exactly. I felt better, like it was the weight of the world off my shoulder. You know, I mean, there's so many things you got to think about. God, I got 500 emails. Oh, my God, I've got 5 billion notifiers in Facebook, you know.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
it can be overwhelming.
It's too much pressure, you know. So,
it can be very overwhelming, you know. And look, and yeah, you have a brain injury, but you're also an adult. Right.
Yeah.
So your brain's fully developed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Our kids' brains aren't fully developed.
No, and based on
and
a lot of people.
Piece.
Right. In our case, in brain injury, not till they're 25, but I'm even, and we're going to focus on that in 1 minute, but, you know, I'm just surprised at the adults, too. That's why I really want this education to be out there to shake the adults, because I know as many adults, you know, I say this, when all of us older people got on Facebook to see what grandkids or kids were doing, you know, the kids all left Facebook for the most mm-hmm. part, you know, and they went yep. somewhere else. So the grown-ups can't keep up with where the kids are going to, the next platform, and we don't. Some of us held, got on Facebook and held. We missed Facebook or whatever the first one was, got on for Facebook and held on that. I know a lot of grown-ups who went on to Instagram and something else, but you know, there's so many of them, and I know so many grown-ups that are always on social media, and if they're doing it, they're not noticing that their kids are doing it because they're so busy doing it. So, you know, while we're going to focus on kids, I want it to be a shake to the parents too, that the adults, I won't just say limit it to parents, I'll say the adults too, is that it right. does get easy to get carried away and that stuff, but then you're not only not paying attention to real life yourself, but maybe missing some of the cues Jan's going to be talking about as we go through the show that can save your child or a loved one from going through absolute hell. And that means mm-hmm. some attention has to be put there, which means it might have to be taken away from some of the trivia that we wind up, that we feel like is important for a moment on social media right. and pay attention to what's going on in the real world. So anyway, Jan, tell us, I know you were a businesswoman before too. It's funny, different things make us pivot to change when we never thought we would. You know, you think you're on a path and you're going to be there forever, and then something happens and it changes your path. How did this journey start for you? Yeah, how'd you get here?
Yeah, how to get here. So, I took a left turn at the stop sign. No. So, in 2013, I was invited to go to Ethiopia. And I was there for a medical mission. And for any of your listeners that have ever been on a mission trip, you know, at the end of the day, you're toast. You just want to have a shower, you want to eat some food and go to bed, you're just exhausted. And you know, it was one of those kind of days, and we were in our little white van headed back to our location, and just a moment in time, and I saw two older men and two younger women, and it just didn't feel right, you know, that gut instinct-y feeling, you know, that we get. And it just yep. didn't feel right. I'm like, well, that was weird. So when I got to my sponsor's house, I shared with him what I saw. And he's like, oh, yeah, that's human trafficking. Now, here's the thing you got to get. This was 2013, for Epstein, before R. Kelly, before Maxwell, before any of that, okay, that's come out to light the past couple of years.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, it's human trafficking. And I'm looking at him, I go, what are you talking about? He goes, Jan, he goes, Ethiopia has 4.5 million orphans. We're the number one source of human trafficking into the Middle East. And I'm looking wow. at him, and I'm like, hang on a second. I said, are you telling me people are selling people? I couldn't get it. Like, my brain just couldn't get it. And he looked at me rather incredulously, like, where you been, you know? And, well, Orlando, happiest place on earth. We don't really
yeah.
talk about that kind of stuff. Yeah.
Well, and we thought slavery was over a long time ago, right?
Yeah, yeah, we were done. We were all done with that.
Right.
And it got laid on my heart right there. So I came home and I did research and I discovered that Florida has the third highest number of calls to the national trafficking hotline behind California and Texas. And at the time, the average age of recruitment was 11 to 14 years old. And I'm like, okay, Ethiopia, I'm going to work my way back towards you. However, I got to fix my own backyard. So I went on a quest. I don't know a lot, but I know a lot of people. So I went on a quest to talk to people. And the more people I talked to, I asked them all the same question. I talked to law enforcement. I talked to undercover cops. I talked to survivors. And I asked what's missing that would make the biggest difference in this fight. And they said awareness. Nobody knows this is happening. Well, my corporate career was with Time Warner Cable, and I was in marketing and advertising. I'm like, well, that's something I can do. I've been trained to do that, right? So
right.
I started talking to them. And in my head, I'm thinking, okay, if the target audience is kids, then clearly it's parents I should be talking to. Well, they really didn't want to hear what I had to say. So like, all right, not a problem. You do you. I'm going to go talk to your kids. Because it was just not okay with me that our kids were going to be at risk. So I, again, talked to people, I created a curriculum, wrote and produced our award-winning film that we use in all of our trainings. And it's a short film that shows the intentional grooming and recruitment of children by children, which happens. And off we went on a quest. And we've been educating young people and their parents ever since, because we know that if I've got a child that's educated to know what to look for, I can empower them to know what to do, to take the action in the moment something's happening. We can actually prevent this from happening. We can actually prevent our children from being sucked down a hole that it takes something to get out of. You know, we've got a couple of John Does here that are suing Twitter. And they were, at the time, separate, didn't know each other. They were 13 years old, and they thought they were interacting with an older girl and started exchanging pictures. At one point in time, the NMA put an air quote, girl, said we should meet up. Luckily, neither boy was, you know, lured out of their house. And they were done, right? They thought they were done. Well, 15 years old comes around. One of them goes into school one day, and one of his buddies holds up his phone, and there are all of his pictures strung together as a pornographic video on Twitter. He's mortified.
Oh my!
He's mortified.
God.
Calls Twitter, goes through all of the community engagement rules. Right? Is like holds up his school ID. I'm clearly a child. This clearly violates your policies. I'm asking you to take this down. They didn't. He considered suicide, talked to a friend about it. Luckily, she talked to her mom. That mom called his mom, and his mom went toddling into his room going, okay, we clearly need to talk about something, right? So they did, and she called Twitter. Going, this is my son's baby.
I didn't know you could.
He was 13 at the time.
Twitter.
He's still 16. He is still a minor. He did not approve of this. I'm asking you to take it down. Still didn't take it down. She was lamenting to her pastor. Luckily, he knew someone with Homeland Security or FBI, one of the three-letter agencies. They called and finally took it down. It took 9 days for that to happen. And in those 9 days was 167 thousand views.
Jeez.
That we know of.
And you
know. That we know of. You know that people trade this kind of content. They buy, sell, and swap this kind of content online and in the dark web. So there's a badass attorney here in Central Florida. Her name's Lisa Haba with the Haba Law Firm, and they took on the case, and they're suing Twitter. The judge allowed, I think it was 4 of the 11 motions to move forward. So there's, you know, this can set a precedent. There's an attorney in Texas. I want to say Annie Farmer, but I don't think that's right. I'll have to look it up while we're talking. She took on Facebook for human trafficking a child. And it looks like her case might go to the Supreme Court. So we're taking them on. And then the last piece I want to leave you with is about this whole piece is there's a piece of legislation called the Earn It Act. It's B-3538, and I can't remember the sister bill on the House side. This is all at the federal level. And it requires, it will hold Big Tech accountable to this. It will allow survivors for retribution, and it will also create a commission of both survivors and technology people to work together to solve this, because we can no longer allow Big Tech to earn funds on the backs of our children. It's not okay, and it's got to stop.
Agreed. I've got a couple questions to ask you based on what you just said. One of the things you said early on is you tried to talk to parents and they didn't seem to be interested in. I wanted to go back to that for 1 second because I was curious. You know, when I try to talk to them about football and concussion and CTE, I know why they don't want to talk to me. But why would they?
Yep.
What would the objection be about trying to talk to them about that? Because it'll never happen to their kid. Is it that?
Sex. We're talking about sex.
Oh.
People would rather talk about money than sex.
Well, not anymore. I mean, they're pushing CRT.
No. You've got to get parent. No. Stop. Hang on. Don't collapse them. That's
okay.
Not the same as someone visualizing someone abusing their child. They just can't be with it.
Obviously it's a horrible thing to think of and to not be able to deal with, but the reality of it. That was the one question.
The next question. The attorney is Annie McAdams in Houston.
That's the one that's taking on Facebook.
Yeah, that's the one that's taken on Facebook. Annie McAdams.
Great. Good to know. I'm so glad. I'll want to follow those cases. The other thing I wanted to clarify, because I don't know the answer, and some of the others might not there. When you talked about, I had a Twitter account, I let that go. I can't, you know, I never really got it, and I won't blame it. I won't blame it on my brain injury, but you asked me what time it is, and I tell you how the watch works. So I wasn't really sure. I didn't even want to try to figure that out, you know, but in the limited time I was there, I never saw anything pornographic, and you used the term dark web. And
mm-hmm.
Can you tell us how that works? Because I bet a lot of people listening on there, using the example of the young man that you were talking about, knowing it could be any kid, I don't know if people who are just randomly on Twitter, or are they, seeing pornographic pictures.
Oh, they are. Yep,
oh, my God.
That's how this kid found it. Yeah.
Well,
I thought there was a law about pornography to begin with. No, there is child pornography. Well, it's not child pornography. It's child sexual abuse material. We all got to start using the more accurate language.
Well, wait a minute.
Because child pornography is a known choice. It's not choice.
Okay.
I know your brain's having a hard time catching up, and I apologize.
No, that's okay. Everybody's is, but that's part of why you're doing what you're doing. And I'm sure there's parents and other people out there that are thinking along the same lines. You know, they're not aware of the dark web, and they probably think, if they haven't happened to run into pictures like this themselves, that there's some kind
web,
of law
these pictures were on Twitter, and Twitter did not take them down.
Yeah.
And so you don't even need to go out to the dark web. But there are websites that, it's not my space. I don't deal with that. So I can't educate your audience on that space. It's not what I deal with.
But those are basically websites.
Yeah. Yeah, they're websites that
okay, that's all
you don't
I need
want to
know
to.
About that. Right.
Yeah,
so the dark web is just really bad websites designed for that, but we're actually talking about Twitter at large in this particular example.
Yep.
That you would be able to see this sort of thing on Twitter, and that is really unbelievable. You know, it seems like hair splitting. Obviously, they've got a way around it. You just explained it, but it is hard to wrap your head around that because, yeah. Okay. So the next question on your list, I'm going to defer to your list for a second. So that'll just maybe, yeah. What's really happening online with our kids?
Yeah, they're being enticed to send nude pictures to strangers. So there's an organization called the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. NCMEC is their acronym. And they had over 29 million reports of child sexual abuse material last year, and that was up from 21 million reports. And that's reports.
Wow. 29 million. And so kids are, is this what they call catfishing, where a kid maybe thinks they're talking to another kid, but it's really an old pervert or...
Yeah, that's sort of.
But
well, no,
kids do it
there's
to
really
kids,
great,
too.
Well, there's a really great video out by a company called bark.us, and it's a 10-minute video that shows how quickly online predators will find children. And it sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's you're pretty, I want to get to know you. Other times they'll literally just send a picture of a body part to see how they react. And other times they'll pretend to be someone that they're not. And other times they'll pretend to be exactly who they are. There was a little girl here in Apopka, Florida. And by the way, every single thing I'm telling your listeners, they can go look up. I cite everything I talk about. There was a little girl here in Apopka, Florida. She was 11 years old. She thought she knew she was talking to a grown man. She thought he was her boyfriend. It took him 8 days to ingratiate himself with her. He drove down from Georgia. She willingly got in the car. And he was headed back to Georgia with her. She came from a great home. Her parents were involved in her life, but they didn't know what she was doing online. And she thought this was her boyfriend. Now, back to the brain, right? The prefrontal cortex is not fully cooked until we're between 28 and 32. That's the decision-making part of our brain. It's not fully done. So she didn't know this wasn't her boyfriend. She thought this was her boyfriend. Clearly he was meeting some need she wasn't getting someplace, or so she thought, what she was supposed to get. And she willingly got in the car. Now, luckily, they got her before they crossed state lines, and she came home safely, and nothing happened to her. That's rare.
Wow.
And the thing is, our kids don't have to leave the house for a predator to come into our household. They come in through social media apps. They come in through DMs. They come in through Messenger. They come in through chat apps like WhatsApp and Signal and Telegram. They get text messages. Our kids are getting random text messages. One of my interns, I have interns from several colleges that work with me every semester. I had one intern that sent me a picture that was texted to her of someone she doesn't even know, asking if she wanted to hook up.
How did they get phone numbers? It's just a random thing.
I have no idea. I have no idea. My only
must
assumption
be some
is,
kind of random
you know,
thing.
Oh, well, you know, they're selling our data, so.
Well, yeah, and then there's that. Yeah, that would be a good way. So in the case that you were talking about, I mean, I could see a young girl of a certain age thinking that was cool to have an older boyfriend. So that child consented, obviously wasn't offended or scared by this older
person. Well, no, because he ingratiated
person.
Himself over time. You're really cute.
Yeah.
Tell me about you. Look, the past 2 years have wreaked havoc on our children. Havoc. And we don't know what to talk about. And I, you know, we've educated about 2,000 kids in the past 2 weeks. And I'll say to them, I'm like, you know, y'all, I know the past 2 years have been really challenging. And you can watch their shoulders drop because it's like, oh, thank God someone's going to say something to us. Because no one's talking to our kids about the past 2 years, talking to their stress level of, okay, my best friend wears a mask, but I don't want to. Can I still be with them? Okay, someone got a shot, someone didn't get a shot. How am I supposed to feel about that? I'm going to school, not going to school. Up is down, down is up, right is left. It's very confusing for them, and nobody wants to talk about it. People want to yell about it, and they want to have their opinions heard. Not a problem, but there's an impact on our children for that, and people aren't paying attention to that because they're so busy freaking out about everything else that's happening. It's not a fault or blame thing. You know, it's not like, oh, parents are old, kids are old. It's not about that. We've got to pause and look at our kids in the face and go, past 2 years have been kind of rough, huh? And they're going to look at you waiting to see how to respond. And you're going to go, it's okay. We can talk about this. And their shoulders are going to drop and go, it's been hell, Mom. I don't know what to do. My grades have dropped. I don't know where I want to college. I'm scared to death. Like, they're just going to pour their little hearts out. They poured it out to me, and I'm a stranger. But I was
well,
there,
and that is so
profound.
I asked the
right question, and I listened. Yeah. I listened, and I didn't make them wrong.
Right. Well, and I can see exactly what you're talking about unfolding because it's, you know, I don't happen to have kids, so I'm interacting with adults a lot. And the information, you know, we've talked about on here, you know, depending on what channel you watch, what media you open, it is confusing for grown-ups, for God's sake. And so the grown-ups are not knowing what to do, and that's the discussion going on. And I can see where, you know, you're either just not thinking because you're into trying to figure it out, or you figure that kids are more resilient and they're going with the flow and you're the adult that's supposed to figure this out. And how do you figure this out when you ask or refer to 10 different resources and get 10 different answers and realize that this is a first in our lifetime and nobody really knows? And so it's confusing for the adults. So that's so profound and simple, yet obviously greatly overlooked, is to include your kid in that discussion, but on their level of, you know, this has been really hard for us trying to figure out what the right answer is. I'm sure it's been really hard on you and engage with your child. Or if you're a teacher, kids that you have contact with, you know, engage with the kids because they're being forgotten. And like you said, they're going through the same up and downs, but the grown-ups are trying to figure out what the answers are, and that is profound, really, you know, I saw it so clearly when you just said what you said, which was only a few words, you know, and that's ask them. So it's been pretty hard the last couple of years. Well, we grown-ups know it, confused, but if the kids have been being overlooked and getting in the middle of everything else, you know, the politics, all of the things that the parents are arguing about, you know, whether it's the COVID, the politics, the whatever.
And they don't know how to, you know, and look, here's what I'm going to say. No one's right. No one's all wrong. No one has it all right.
Right.
No one has it all wrong. And to
be
all opinionated about that, look, I can find evidence for all sides. I can. I just know what I feel, right? I know what's okay for me in my life. I'm not going to tell anybody else what they should do for their life. And my request would be, you allow me to be okay with my choices for my life. That's all I ask. And I don't think that's unfair, you know? But people are so upset. And here's the thing, you know, I feel like the entire world has been gaslighted and coerced and manipulated over a variety of things. It's not just a thing. And we don't know how to be with it because we were never trained. This is not a conversation we have. The world overall, right, except for certain hotspots, it was okay. It wasn't horrible and it wasn't great everywhere, but it was okay. It was manageable. We could work. We could go to work. We could come home, you know, be with our family, go on vacation. We could do some things, right? And this whole, you know, all stop in the middle of a full steam ahead shook some things up. And our kids have been caught in the middle of it, not knowing how to talk about it. And I'm in the middle of doing a project right now where we're doing a lot of research, online time, social media, mobile apps they're using, things they wish they had, things they wish that it was different, you know, all of that. And what I'm picking up on is there's no safe place to have a conversation. And I'm not talking about political stuff, but about the stuff they're dealing with, mostly. But there's just no safe place to have a conversation about how they're feeling. They're petrified to upset or disappoint their parents. Their parents are navigating what they're having to navigate too, right? So, you know, there's a great song off the Evan Hansen musical called Does Anybody Have a Map? you know, in the world, we can relate to it, right? You know, does anybody happen to know how the hell to do this? And the leaders that we look to, they've never had to deal with this before, right? They're making it up as they go. And whether they get it right or they get it wrong, they're doing the best they can with what they got. You know? And to give space and grace for our kids to just be kids, to let their creative side of their brain take over and go do chalk art and make up stories and put on plays and put on shows and go dress up and do, you know, all the kid things that has our brain develop as designed versus sitting in front of a tablet.
Exactly. That's something too, you know, my husband and I noticed pre-pandemic when we were still going out quite a bit that, you know, we would be out to dinner and see family, you know, couple, family, couple. And so everybody's out to dinner together, but they all had their faces in their iPhones,
in their phones.
And my husband and I, in their phones. I mean, the parents and the three kids at the table. But, I mean, the whole restaurant was that way, honest to God. And my husband and I don't do that. You know, when we go eat, it's like, you know, we turn off our phones and leave them in the car or have them in our bag or whatever, and we eat, and we take that opportunity to talk, you know, and we were commenting about it that day, looking around the restaurant. I was like, God, can you believe it? You know, these are the parents too. It's not just the kids. We noticed with the grands at a certain age, it was hard to get their attention out of the phone, and tried to do some, you know, some enforcement that the parents aren't doing. That's not appreciated.
Nope.
You know, like, don't use those around us. When you come here, we get to see you so seldom, you know, that can we, like, I like to go out and do those chalk things on the driveway. And if you have a kid, it substantiates you being out there doing it when you're my age. But yeah, exactly. Being able to go out and do fun things that kids do. And that was, you know, one of the things that's disappointed me about. Well, also, you know, kids expect, there's an expectation that a kid is going to get a smartphone by the time they're 8. And I think that's crazy. There's completely off-topic things like the radiation exposure and three kinds of brain tumors that are showing up in kids in their 20s that didn't even exist or showed up in people in their 80s. So, you know, not only from a safety physical aspect, but I was thinking about the playing part. Where do they get to be a kid? Being a virtual kid doesn't seem like the same kind of fun.
They don't.
We got to have when we were a kid.
Yeah, they've actually done research that parts of our kids' brains, the creative part, you know, that designed and developed, it's actually shrinking.
Wow. That's
not a surprise.
Sad. So as grown-ups, is it as simple as you said, sitting down and asking? We talked about what's happening with the
kids
online.
Our kids are
just
craving it. They're craving it. They're craving conversation. They're craving dialogue, just to be able to have a safe space to share what they're dealing with. Because it's a lot. These kids get anywhere from 5 to 10 direct messages about inappropriate stuff every week. It's exhausting.
If you don't mind, real quick before I ask you the next question, there was something in what you sent me. I wouldn't mind, and maybe you were going to, but it started out, did you know? This is something I got in Jan's kit, but this really blew me away. Consider these numbers, 10, 8, 98, and 21. 10 is the average age of child being groomed online. God. 8 days is how quickly a predator can groom and recruit a child into sending nudes or leaving home to meet a stranger.
Yep.
98 is the percent increase in child online exploitation between 1920 and 1921 in that 1 year period, 98%. 2021, that 1 year, first year of the pandemic. And 21.7 million reports of child sexual exploitation made to Cyber Tip Line in 2020, including 65.4 million images, which you said, videos and other files. I just wanted to drop back to those numbers because when I read those, you know, like I said, I've been hearing more on the news and I'm aware that this exists. I'm going to go on and ask you what is human trafficking exactly. But before I do that, I just wanted to say that, you know, I heard what a lot of people are hearing, and that's, you know, you're hearing more about it on the news now. As a grown-up, you might have been aware that this is something that's happened, but thought that it only happened in third world countries or in a certain social or economic status which you'll be addressing later, or you just didn't think about it except to hear it. And I get this a lot in here on a variety of topics, and it's the, it'll never happen to me, or it'll never happen to my kid. You know,
yep.
My kid knows better. And
mm-hmm.
bless you. And that goes a long ways. And I would just have to refer back to what you said, because I've had guests on whose kids have wound up getting injured, and they were admitting now because their kids are disabled and they feel horrible about it. But they saw films on injuries, sports injuries, and thought that would never happen to my kid. And why not? You know,
right.
Why not your kid versus somebody else's kid? It could very well happen to your kid. So you can do your best in being a model parent. And a lot of it is some, not with these people I'm talking about, but in general, you know, a lot of this has to do with an idea that a parent has of how good of a parent they are, that they almost make it about them and take it personally that their child would never do anything like that because they've been such a good parent. I guess there's a million reasons why it escapes them, and going back to the question I asked you about why they wouldn't want to talk about it, some of them don't think they would need to, you know, because they've been such great parents. But you brought up an example where the people were great parents. The kid did
yeah.
have a good life at home. They weren't, the child wasn't from a third world nation. She wasn't in a certain socioeconomic class. She had all of the advantages or status quo and still got into that kind of trouble. So I guess this is a pretty level playing field and could happen to anyone. So my answer, like it always is, to the it'll never happen to my kid is, why not?
Mm-hmm.
Why not your kid?
Yeah.
It's going to happen to somebody's kid, and it very well could be your kid. It's not worth the gamble to mm-hmm. put a blind eye and rest on it'll never happen to my kid, because everybody thinks that. Everybody would like to think their kid wouldn't be impacted by something horrible like this, but as you've just heard the numbers, that is a stunningly horrific, tragic numbers to be looking at, and you qualified it even that we know of. You know, we know even in brain injury, you know, we can give quotes all last month on Brain Injury Awareness Month, but those are the ones that have been diagnosed. You know, we also
mm-hmm.
know that there's half again as many that haven't been diagnosed or have been misdiagnosed. So there's cases in this trafficking that aren't being reported or that have happened and aren't being talked about, aren't being reported, kids aren't being treated. And so those numbers are even more stunning than what I just read. So for those that don't know exactly what human trafficking is, can you tell us that?
Sure. So it's not what you, it's not Taken. It's not the movie Taken. That's actually done more damage to this fight than anything else that's happened out in the world. So human trafficking, the definition is the use of force, fraud, or coercion to have someone do something that they wouldn't normally choose to do. Okay. With children, none of that's required, because we're very clear that no one would choose, no child would choose, like willfully choose. I assert that adults are in that same category. Willfully choose being raped 15 to 25 times a night. No one chooses that life. No one.
No.
You know, people argue high-end escorts, and I'm like, I just want you to look. Is that really a choice? Like, just, you just want to look, and I'm not, you know, look, if someone thinks that's really a choice for them, okay. You know, I'm okay. For the most part. Okay. For the
most
part.
Well, that is true.
No one chooses that lifestyle. And like a real choice, like, am I going to have a ham sandwich or a turkey sandwich today? That's a choice, right? Selling
right.
your body to survive isn't a choice, from my point of view.
Right. And a lot of people make an assumption that, like you say, that people are wanting to do it, or they're hooked on drugs, or they like doing it because they can make more money. But I'm with you that, for one thing, a lot of times that isn't a choice. Somebody's been groomed by
mm-hmm.
a pimp, lured in by a friend. There's all kinds of ways that someone gets out there. And the drug part of things can be as a result of really not wanting to live that way and going against your own grain.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the drugs could come after or come before. They, you know, being messed up on the drugs could cause you to have poor judgment, make some bad choices.
No, pimps use the drugs to control the person.
Exactly. So none of that is a choice. I'm with you. I'm not really sure how anyone can think that would be willfully, as you said,
willfully something that someone would choose. If someone's purchasing sex, that's how they're going to justify it. If someone's doing that, that's how they personally will justify it for themselves. It's funny because when we're talking to kids, I'll say, they'll ask that question, right? And I'll say, they're like, well, what about the girls on OBT? And I'm like, I'm like, that is a great question. Let me ask you a question back. I don't ever make anybody wrong, right? I just listen to what they're talking about. And I said, do you really think someone would willfully choose being raped 15 to 25 times a night? And I've let it sit there. I don't have to say another thing. They get it. And they're like, well, what about the drugs? I'm going to go back to that. Our bodies are designed for that kind of personal trauma. How else would you manage that trauma to numb the pain and to numb the nightmares and to numb all the things that we experience? How would you do that? And again, I just ask really good questions and let them come to their own conclusion.
Well, and hopefully it's not later, but my experience on that, I was in a recovery program at one time, and it started the first class, there were about 26 women there.
Mm-hmm.
I happened to have been 7 years sober when I went, but everyone else that was there, there was one other lady who wasn't having a substance abuse issue corresponding with, there was me who had dealt with that first years before, and it was time, for me to deal.
Right.
The other lady that wasn't on drugs was shell-shocked is the only way I can describe her. It's like she was in the chair, but not present. She didn't even need the drugs anymore. She was just vacant.
Yep.
And I felt so horrible for her. And then the rest of the women, young ladies in this case, mostly, had some kind of substance abuse issue, and within weeks, because, you know, the drugs cloud the light of the spirit, what can I say? The message can't penetrate through the drugs, and so that class
can't.
Wound up being four of us within just a couple weeks time from 26. I thought that was so tragic, because obviously there was two different things they needed help with, and I dropped to my knees and thank God I didn't have the one so that I was able to deal with the other. But I understood why they had that problem. I just did a lot of praying for them that they could kick that problem so they could chance, you know, to deal with the other problem. And so, yeah, I mean, you're absolutely right about the self-medicating, because you're right. The body, you know, I thought of that in terms of war, and this is a war.
Yeah.
War, you know, war is a relative thing. We know what it is for soldiers who sign up and go to war, you know, and they have their issues. But, you know, my contention this last time around, you know, of people deploying, because I'd never heard of it before, people deploying 3, 4, 5, 6 times over the last 20 years and saying over and over to everyone who would listen that is a kind of trauma no psyche was geared to deal with.
No,
and
exactly.
This is a different kind of war, and people don't see it as being the same thing. I do, because war is relative.
It's totally the same thing.
It is. It's repeated trauma that a psyche was never geared to deal with. And yet, there it is. And so, I'm glad that you're answering those questions, especially when, you know, that average age of luring kids in is, you know, around 10 years old. You know, the women they're asking about walking on the streets and being on drugs that they're asking you the questions about might have been the 10-year-olds, you know, that started down this path at that age, and that's where she wound up if she wasn't fortunate enough to have an intercession of some kind. So, you know, some of those women that you see out there were children before they got on that path, and thus the trying to practice prevention, because going in reverse is a really difficult proposition.
Yes, it is.
You know, like I say, between the self-medicating, the suicidal ideation, not being, you know, that's a hell of a self-esteem. You know, you talked about the young man and even having pictures. He wasn't physically assaulted, but those pictures, the embarrassment, you know, something he thought
was
private.
But he was assaulted. It wasn't personal, and it was personal.
Yes, exactly. And he thought it was private, and to find out it's not private. And that's another thing to remind people of real quick, is that there is nothing, they call it private messenger, but there is nothing on the internet, there is nothing on social media that's private. So anything that you say, anything that you send on your phone, on your computer, on social media, plan on it being out there forever and having no control over where that might be being seen. You might never know. This kid found out and went through the consequences, but you know, it's just, there's nothing private about it. I guess I have to put big exclamation points and bold print behind that, is that be careful, because that was another thing I saw that was easy on social media, is so you don't want to do it on a post so everybody sees it. So you go to private messenger, and that puts an idea in your head that it's private.
Mm-hmm.
It's not private to the social media company. You know, it may be private for this minute to the other users on that platform, but it is never private from the platform.
Exactly.
So, again, anything that's another thing I thank God for a lot, that there is no such thing as YouTube or social media or drones when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Those are some things to be worried about, you know, is not engaging, because that's something that can carry a long tail on it too, you know, even
absolutely.
If you think it's harmless to do once or twice, or a couple friends at a sleepover tried to goad you into doing something like that, don't, cave to the peer pressure, because that one time, that innocent one time, can create a nightmare that can last a lifetime, you know, and that's another thing to talk to kids about. Anyway, we'll drop back to that one, but tell us the difference, because people are hearing these terms, the difference between exploitation and enticement.
Sure. So enticement is, you know, probably the best analogy I can give you is, hey, little girl, want to come into my car and get a piece of candy? Right.
Oh God, or the puppy.
Hey,
mm-hmm.
little girl, do you want to go see? You want to see my puppy? That's enticing them with something. And now, you know, those are examples of things, okay? But they can entice
yeah.
them with, oh my God, you're beautiful. You should be a model. I work for a modeling agency, right? Oh my God,
yes.
you're a great soccer player. Send me a soccer video. You know, I can help you get recruited. You know, it's the enticement of something, of some future that doesn't exist, right? So that's enticement.
Mm-hmm.
Exploitation is using that enticement, having that child send you an inappropriate picture or an inappropriate video, and then using it against them and exploiting them, right? Going, if you don't send me more, I'm going to send this out to all of your social contacts. Right.
Oh,
if you don't send me more, I know where you live. I can follow your IP address. I'm going to hurt your family. If you don't send me more, I'm going to hurt your friends at school. So the threats and the manipulation and the coercion come into the exploitation. But it is illegal, just so we're clear about this. It is illegal in the United States to have child sexual abuse material on your phone, on your laptop, or on your server or on your tablet. It's illegal, and you will go to jail. That is a felony, flat out, whether they sent it to you or not. You ask for it, you're hosting it on any of your devices, you're guilty. That's exploitation.
Good. And good
period.
To know.
You're guilty, period. Yep.
Okay. Now, I kind of already answered this, but you're the expert, so I'm going to let you. what do I know? Just guessing. So about the socioeconomic or third world nation troubled youth thing, my guess, just because of the brain thing and the accessibility thing, is that this isn't limited to any particular class of
no,
child.
No, ma'am, there is no,
is that,
there's no socioeconomic, demographic, geographic boundary. You can be in Beverly Hills, California, or Compton, U.S., or Compton, California. Doesn't matter. You can be in small town
yeah.
rural Texas, or you can be downtown Chicago. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what color your skin is. Doesn't matter what school you go to. Doesn't matter what phone you have. Doesn't matter if you got one parent or eight parents. Doesn't matter. All they
That's
want
what
is
I
content.
Thought.
They
yeah.
want your pictures.
So, right. So, again, anybody, any child can be susceptible to this. So you really need to be paying attention and not make it about you and what kind of parent you are or have an unrealistic expectation for your kid whose brain isn't going to be fully developed and has no reason to know better at these young ages, don't have any idea of the consequences. You can't count on them knowing something they can't know or being somebody that they aren't yet, which is fully developed in understanding what's going on, particularly when they're being manipulated by somebody who specializes in this. You know, that's what their specialty is.
Yep, the analogy I like to use, if you and I went to the U.S. Open this September and we're at center court and there's a, you know, Serena Williams down on center court and she's like, hey, come on down and play, right? She invites you down to play on center court. Who's going to win? She is.
Exactly.
She's a perfect
option,
exactly. Right? And I say it's the same thing. You've got a 45-year-old brain up against a 14-year-old brain. Who's going to win? And the biggest thing I can tell your listeners that are parents, biggest thing I can, your kids don't know. Their prefrontal cortex is not fully developed. Everyone's do it. We've over-sexualized our children, and they don't know. And then you yell at them, which has them close off even more. So we've got to bring compassion to our kids and let them know it's not their fault. It's not their fault. It's not our fault either.
And I think that's,
by the way,
that's
not
really
fault.
Important, too, because
yeah.
I could see kids not wanting to tell because they'd be afraid they'd get in trouble.
They're mortified.
But you really do need to have an adult help intercede.
Yeah.
And that's why it is really important, as you say, to react. Be careful about how you react as parents. Getting angry will just close the kids down and have a really
mm-hmm.
counterproductive direction than you want it to go. You're interceding. Scolding doesn't help.
Nope.
Compassion and listening and really trying to help, being concerned, but being angry isn't going to do anything but make them clam up and leave them susceptible to looking for comfort in the wrong place.
Mm-hmm.
Let that comfort be at home with you who has their best interest in mind, not someone who's going to exploit or entice them who doesn't. So how many different kinds of human trafficking are there? I didn't know that there was more than
one. Oh, golly.
One.
Yeah, well, you know, everybody talks about sex trafficking. There's that. Pornography is a form of trafficking. Labor trafficking, you know, so you've got agriculture. A lot of people know about that. But you also have your maintenance teams at hospitals and hotels and, you know, big apartment complexes. Housekeeping, domestic servitude. A lot of, you know, especially in the warmer areas, you'll see kids out with big tubs, you know, selling those $5 candles and boxes of candy and stuff. That's labor trafficking.
Oh, okay.
Organ trafficking, where you meet somebody at a bar and you end up in a tub of ice and, you know, you've got a scar in the back, in your back, and they've stolen a kidney. Yeah, organ trafficking. Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well,
Now,
okay.
Here's the thing, right? We can actually do something about this, and that's doing exactly what you're doing, and it's having a conversation about it.
Absolutely.
More
the more
solutions.
I Well, and the more I read this, and the more I didn't know a lot of this stuff, and I bet a lot of you listening didn't know a lot of this stuff, so it really is worth having the conversation, and then having the conversation with your child with the right attitude, and not making the situation worse, but helping the situation. What mobile app should parents look out for?
All of them.
Yeah, okay.
Any app with a chat feature. Any mobile app, any game with a chat feature. Because that's how our predators get into our kids.
Okay.
Anything with a chat feature. So, you know, Snapchat, TikTok, Omegle, all of them. Kick, any of those.
Yeah, I got it. Anything with a chat. That includes a lot of podcast things, too.
I would imagine
there's some...
Our kids are
exactly
being recruited via Cash App.
Oh, God.
No. Wherever
a tremendously large, large problem.
Wherever kids are, they are.
What are signs of grooming and recruitment that you can watch for in your kids? Are there some tells to see that?
Yeah, well, you know, they become uber secretive all of a sudden. Right, they become super secretive. When you walk in the room, they turn their phone over. They start to miss school. Right, they start to miss school. They're late turning in assignments. They're not turning, you know, going from a straight A or AB student to a CB student for really no reason. Right, there's no... they didn't go from algebra 1 to calculus in a semester, right? So it's not the obvious reason. Displaying new behavior towards their parents or friends, right? Having that they love to dance or play football or swim or, you know, do some kind of sport or art, and then they come home one day and they don't want to do that anymore. And then they close their room, slam the door, and lock the door, right? So it's those kinds of behaviors that you can't and the reason why these predators target our kids is because that seems like angsty teenager behavior. That's angsty teenager behavior
right.
is what they do. Right? And so we just toss it off as, oh, that's angsty teenager behavior. When it's not. It could be something else. And the only way you can break through that is to have a conversation. And you've got to be curious. Like, be curious and be in the inquiry. So a real simple thing, you know, parents and grandparents and aunties and uncles can do after listening to this is, gosh, you know, hey, I was listening to this really cool podcast and radio show, and they're talking about human trafficking. And they talk about, you know, that strangers will send messages through direct messenger. And I was like, going, oh, my gosh, I wonder if you've gotten one. Has that ever happened to you? And I looked on my stuff, and it's happened to me too. What do you think about that? You know, you just got to be curious and be engaged in that way, you know, and share that there are predators out there targeting them specifically. They're sending the same message out to 300 kids waiting for someone to bite. They're special, but they're not special to this predator. Okay?
Right.
You know, and for kids to understand it's not their fault. And parents, I promise you, if you just keep dropping these little nuggets and little seeds, at some point in time, your child will come up to you and say, hey, you know that thing we kind of talked about? You know, and you're gonna, you know, as a parent, you're going to be like, which one? You know, because that's not a lot. And they'll say, you know, that human trafficking online thing. And you're going to go, yeah, of course, what's up, honey? And you're just going to watch their body behavior. They're going to get all squirmy, and they're going to get all nervous, and they're not going to know what to say. And you're just going to put your little hand on their little arm and go, it's okay, honey, whatever you need to tell me, we'll work it out. It's okay, you're not in trouble, it's not your fault, what's up? And they'll say whatever they say, I sent a picture to so-and-so, or I said such and such, or I did X, Y, Z in that next 3 seconds. That's the most important part of being a parent, is you just take a deep breath and go, okay, honey, I got your back. We'll work it out. Now, parents are going to want to be pissed and you want to be angry. I get it. Not a problem. However, if you are that, they'll think it's their fault and they'll shut down. You just got to be super neutral. Super neutral. Honey, it's okay. It's not your fault. I got your back. In about a neutral tone as you can muster. And then you call. Then you're going to call the national tip line. You're going to reach out to NCMEC. There's a cyber tip line. If you type in your Google or your Firefox or your DuckDuckGo browser, Bing, whoever you use, and type in missing kids or cyber tip, that website will come right up and you can report that. If it's continual overtime abuse, you want to call your local officer, call your local non-emergency number and let them know that your child's being exploited. And by the way, it's not your child's fault. Okay. And so if the police officer goes, well, they could get in trouble for sending the pictures too. No, no, they can't because they were enticed. Let me show you the laws.
Right.
Or, you know, you can, and you can call the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, and I'll give you that number. It's 800-843-5678. That's 800-843-56. It's the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children. And parents, the biggest thing you can do is you want to keep those messages. You want to keep that information. Screenshot it. Save it. The first thing you want to do is delete it and get it off your kid's phone. Please, please, please keep that, because that's how the police can go catch these bad guys. So keep, as sickening as it is, keep that information on your kid's phone. If you can give it to the police, they'll download it and they'll give the phone back. But that's how we catch these bad
Great
guys.
Information.
We empower our kids to be like, nope, not on my watch. You wait. I'm going to report you.
No, that's good, because that was obviously going to be my next question, is after you be cool, what do? You know, I mean, talk to your therapist if you're angry, not at your kid. You want to have the good, open, safe conversation with your kid and keep the relationship that way. But yeah, then my next question was, now what are you supposed to do with that information, knowing that a picture of your kids got sent out, or several? But great answers. I've written all of those down, and obviously folks, we're at about the hour and a half point, which would be what, 90 minutes. I was just going to say, because click on the link. It's posted all over social media, but you can always find it at braininjuryradio.com in the on-demand section, or even easier for my shows, my own website, inaflash.org, under shows. Narrows it down a little bit, since we're on 7 nights a week with 20 different hosts. You can look on my website, find the show. There's click on the link if you don't want to listen to the show from the beginning and you're looking to rehear this section. There's a slider down below, and just slide the slider to about the 90-minute place. Or many of you know how to get a hold of me, and I've got all of this information, and you know, also check out Jan's website. But okay, so
foundation.org. That's my website.
Yes.
Savingtheway foundation.org.
And again, that one is in the program notes. So if you're not by a pen right now, or you're driving in your recliner, that you don't even have to go back and listen to the show. Just click on the link, and the website is in my program notes, so you'll be able to find that. So we've talked about the grooming and recruitment and signs of trafficking. do predators only go after people they don't know? That's an interesting one.
Oh, no.
I'm sure a lot of people would assume that because we've talked about the social media. So tell us about that.
Well, so I'm gonna blow your mind again. A little over 50% of child trafficking is actually done by someone that the child knows, generally a family member.
Wow, half? That's not saying much for half of the people that we're related to, is it?
No, it's not.
So not only is there your child to be concerned with, but you don't know everything that your family members or friends of the family, what they're into in their spare time that they're not talking about when they're over for dinner or making a social call. They have a private life and you don't know what they're doing in it. So again, when we go to the question, it would never happen to my kid, I could see the, well, no one in my family would be that way. Well, apparently half of them are. So, a big word of caution there.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, look, we can't be with our kids everywhere. We just can't, you know. So
right.
It really is, like, we've got to empower our kids. We have to. We have to.
So when you tell, and we may run over just a hair if you have time. This is so interesting because I'm just wondering, when you tell your kid, you know, there's whatever you say, and maybe you tell me, but, you know, if
we have a parent, so we have a parent toolkit on our website that says exactly what to say. Have, you know, what
great, and I did
that
read that.
Toolkit, there will be lots of questions they can ask. It's really a great tool.
Thank you for reminding me of that. I did see that on your website before, and I read about it. So, again, at pavingthewayfoundation.org, because I know these would be very difficult conversations to have, and I would err on the side of an expert before I tried to have this conversation on my own, because you might only get one shot at it. And
well, if they're your kid, hopefully you have more than one shot.
Well, I mean to really be able to do it, to lay the groundwork. To keep the dialogue open, I think is really good. Than better to maybe check with a resource of someone who knows a lot more than likely you do, and then take it from there. But I mean, if it were me, I would want to know what an expert has to say before I wing it and feel like I might blow it. I don't want to miss that opportunity or mess up that opportunity. That's just me. But I would encourage you to look. I mean, it's there. She's offering it. It's real important.
It's free.
It's free. And so that is the parent workbook. And make sure to check that. Did know that. I looked at it even, but we have had the show booked for quite a while, so I was looking back in the beginning, so I'm so glad that you reminded me of that and that we've got that on the air, because I know it would be difficult. We go back to one of the first two questions about parents not wanting to talk about it. Well, that would be one reason, too. They don't really know how to broach the subject. Well, there's the help.
Yep.
There's the help.
Yep.
to broach the subject and to do it in a positive way that will help keep that dialogue open and empower the kids.
And we have parent tech talks every single month that they can go back and look either at our YouTube channel or on our Facebook page, because we have every topic by every type of expert in the planet. We've got law enforcement, we have mental health physicians, we have parents, we have advocates, we have doctors, judges, you name it, there is, and we all have very similar conversations, which is talk to your kids. So you can plop your kid down right in front of that little video and go, I'll be back. And then you can have a conversation about it.
Yeah. Absolutely. Let's talk about in plain sight times. There's things going on right in front of us, and we're not cued into it or we're distracted. When you're talking about it's in plain sight, what are you referring to?
It's everywhere. Dishwashers, gardeners, house maintenance. It's everywhere. It's everywhere.
That's true. You just never know what people are doing in their spare time. Does money have to be exchanged for it to be considered trafficking? No.
No, ma'am.
And you did talk about that.
No, ma'am. Mm-hmm.
There's another question on your sheet. This is not my question, but I guess it is now. I thought trafficking was like the Taken movie. How many kids are kidnapped each year?
I actually said that earlier. It's not that.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's not Taken.
Okay.
Now, it's not that.
About
and
your
think
film.
It is, it's kind of scary. Yeah.
It is. Yeah. I do want to talk about your film because I did see and remember the film, and it's really incredible film, Trapped in the Trade. Tell us a little bit about the film and then tell us about the sequel that'll be coming. And I strongly encourage you as grown-ups to watch this, as well as referring to the other things I talked about on the site. There is another website, and that's trappedfilm.com. But tell us about your film and the sequel that's coming up.
Sure. Well, the film shows the intentional grooming and recruitment of children by children. It's a short film. It doesn't have a happy ending. That's why you won't find it online. And if you remember, the conversation I had with you was you can't watch it alone.
Right.
Right. You had to watch it with somebody. So that was kind of our deal. We want to make sure people could watch it with someone. So.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the deal. We used it in all our training programs. We trained over 18,000 young people and adults, and 18,000 people pretty much have seen that film, face to face. We use it to educate kids because we really want kids to know what's happening and then have a conversation afterwards. We have a dialogue. And I'm a huge fan of the Socratic method of education, so we just ask really great questions and they get to come up with the answers. And the second film's the sequel. I'm not going to say a whole lot more about it other than there is a happy ending. There's twists, there's turns, there's some action, and there's a happy ending.
Good. Now,
we hope to be filming this summer.
Okay. That's what I was going to ask is, hopefully you'll be in touch with me and let me know. People will still have the website, and it'll be talking about when the sequel is coming out, but we'll have to be watching for the sequel to be coming out, but see the first film first. I believe it was on CNN. I watched it a different way, but
I was on CNN.
Okay, like I say, I saw the movie a different way. You were on CNN talking about it.
I was on CNN. It was not on CNN.
That's what I thought, because you didn't – no, you wouldn't have that. Okay, so trappedfilm.com for more information on the film. And
yes.
Again, like a lot of what we've talked about tonight, super shocking. I want to spend just a second – in back of that, we've just got like 10 minutes left, but we've talked a lot about the people on social media and the it can be anybody, and we've talked a lot about adults interacting with children, and what you just talked about the film has to do with children getting other children into these
mm-hmm.
situations. Can you make a comment on that, because we will have covered all the bases then at that point, that it's not always an adult lurking out there in the internet. It can be anyone. It can be someone in your family. All those people are generally adults. Where does the kid part come in, that you should be also watching it as far as who your kids are hanging out with and things you might want to talk about?
Yes, it's not so much, how do I want to say this? You know, probably the best example I have would be in the foster care system, right? Is
mm-hmm.
pimps will send little girls into the foster care system to recruit other little girls.
Right.
And so that's the piece. It's not so much, and yeah, it could have happened in school. Of course it could, right? Not saying that it can't.
That's what I was
but
thinking
more,
of kids that have been recruited already.
The more likely scenario is a child that, you know, is already in that life, not by choice, mm-hmm. is being threatened. You know, you either do X or else, right? And then the child has to choose over their life versus something else. And really that's,
right.
you know, it's having those straightforward conversations with your kids can save their life. You know, there was a research study done in 2016, and we spent, $124 billion on untreated childhood trauma, on chronic illnesses. From untreated childhood trauma.
Yeah, I believe it.
And so
I believe
that's
it.
Why having those conversations with our kids is so important.
Yeah, I was going to say, that would be my two takeaways, is first of all, educating yourself on this topic, because even someone like me who doesn't have kids cares would never want
mm-hmm.
a child or a family to go through that. So no matter who you are, getting versed in the gravity and the breadth of this game-changing, tragic dynamic that's going on, helping to raise awareness and carry the word, if nothing else, of the website, you know, that you heard a very interesting podcast on trafficking, human trafficking, and passing on the link or passing on the website, pavingthewayfoundation.org, and just engaging yourself in your own knowledge base, and then passing the word when you're talking to your friends. You know, talk about the weather, gossip, news, whatever else you're talking about with your friends. Bringing up something like this, like I say, that's so widespread and so much breadth to it, more than what we knew, that when you educate yourself on it or become more aware of how huge this thing is, you can't help but want to help by sharing that information with others. And then the other thing is the importance of talking to your kids and how they have been lost, and particularly the last couple years. But I think that there is a tendency because, you know, I was a kind of rotten teenager. You know, there is a time when teenagers start getting mouthy and they're trying to gain their own autonomy. So they're trying to pull away from their parents a little anyway. And it's really hard for them to not make the wrong left turn without knowing about it. And so don't assume, I guess, would be another huge takeaway for me in listening to this. Don't assume that it wouldn't be your kid or that your parenting has been such that your kid would never be susceptible to this type of thing, or that you necessarily know how to broach it without maybe checking, you know, the guide at the website. Again, I'm all for asking experts, because that is a time the hormones are freaky and kids are changing and trying to get their own autonomy. That's the only reason I was really pushing the, I didn't mean blowing it forever. I just meant if you start well, if you have a good start by an expert who's used to dealing with this, more has a lot more information and experience than any given parent would have, that it's a good thing and a helpful thing to check out those resources and then make sure, you know. And I remember we weren't talking about this, but going back to those cell phones around the dinner table, you know, when I was coming up, they didn't make cell phones yet. And my family, actually my mom, insisted that we have dinner around the dinner table. People weren't on cell phones because they didn't make them. But we weren't at a TV tray watching TV either. You know, when we were eating around the dinner table, we were talking. Now, I know that that isn't the norm these days, but, you know, one suggestion I might make, because that puts it in a casual, but you're face-to-face without distraction, is maybe if you can even commit to doing something old-fashioned like having Sunday dinner together as a family, or pick an evening, you know, a dinner time or something, and actually scheduling, it's just as important as scheduling your doctor appointment, your hair appointment, your nail appointment, sitting down and making an appointment with your kid, and not just went, you know, driving them to school or something like that, where it's a lot of light banter a lot of the time. But, you know, I think around the dinner table.
In the car is a great place to have conversation.
Better make sure you're having a long drive. School's not right
a couple blocks away.
Not
really. Not, 15, 20 minutes. You don't need hours. 15, 20 minutes to start to plant the conversation. You don't need forever.
Just the fact that you do it. Just the fact that you do it.
Mm-hmm.
So probably sometimes in the car or, you know, if you try doing that, sharing a meal as a family together and
Absolutely.
Breaking the habit. You know, I'd like to see people break the habit a little bit, you know, of the phones in the face and being at the same or not being at the same table, but actually making an appointment as a family to
mm-hmm.
sit down for one meal a week together if you're not doing it already, just to have that focused time, because that doesn't take a long time either, you know, just having dinner. But it's a time where you get to break a pattern that might have been established where, you know, you're having conversations in passing kind of a thing. The car is definitely a good one. There's probably a lot of opportunities to have conversations with your kid, but that would be one that would, you know, be my challenge of 1 hour a week where everybody puts away their phone and has focused attention
mm-hmm.
on each other, you know, where you have the opportunity to talk, because otherwise I know families are sometimes going to the pool or, you know, going to a sporting
sure.
event. You know, it's not that they're not doing things as a family together, but opportunities to talk, you know,
mm-hmm.
just to sit down and talk and to break the habit of the reliance on the media equipment all the time. So, Jan, I want to thank you so much for coming on tonight and sharing all of this valuable information. I am just so grateful that you came on, and not happy for the information, but happy to get the information, because this is something that I'll be passing on a lot and sending the link to the show to a lot of people other than our regular listeners, you know, friends and family who aren't necessarily listening to my show every time, but that this is really something that is well worth their time to hear and to know that these resources are out there. And again, I guess the last thing probably both of us would like to say, but I'll give you a chance to, is just, to me, the hugest part of all this is preventing it from happening. Of course, she's given you ways to deal with it if it's starting to happen or has happened, but I'm so for prevention so that you don't have to go there at all.
Yeah.
So that that
exactly.
can be bypassed and avoided. And so that's what I think is great about Jan and this organization, is they're focusing on preventing it from happening in the first place instead of trying to undo it after the fact, which is no
Thank
easy
you.
Task. So if you
no.
think it's difficult ahead of time, it doesn't hold a candle sitting down and talking to your kid before to help empower them and prevent it than the conversation you have when it's become a problem.
Exactly. Exactly.
So thank you. Thank you very much for the work that you're doing and for taking the time to be on the show tonight.
Thank you for inviting me. Thank you for the lovely conversation. And, you know, I just want to complete the dialogue with,
mm-hmm.
the world's a miraculous place, and there's some bad actors out there. Let's work together to disrupt this so our kids can have a great life.
Amen.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
Well, thank you very much, and
thank you.
Stay
so
in touch.
Much. You have a great rest of the evening. We will talk to you soon.
Okay, everybody. That was wow! What an incredible show. Make sure to check out the website. And again, that was my guest, Jan Edwards. And pavingthewayfoundation.org is the site you want to make sure to visit for these resources. Trappedfilm.com to check out the film, how you can see the film and get information on the sequel that will be coming. And I'll go ahead and tell you the number again for the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children, 1-800-843-5678. And, wow, be safe. Be safe and be sure to spread the word on this. As she said, lives can be saved. I know that a lot of survivors out there have children, know people that have children, care about children. And if we can do something to prevent these kind of tragedies from happening, I know you people that are listening, and it's something that you'd want to do. So good night and God bless. Thank you so much for being here. I will be back next Wednesday night with my co-host Karen Robinson, and I'm not sure what we'll be talking about yet, but we'll be happy to see you there. Again, thanks for being here. And I'm going to close out with Lily Kershaw, and it's As It Seems. And we'll see you next week. Thank you.
Well, I knew what I didn't want to know, and I saw where I didn't want to go. So I took the path less traveled on, and I let my story be whispered when I'm gone. When I'm gone, when I'm must find something to live for, 'cause when the darkness comes a-calling, you go back to where you were before. 'Cause this life is as fragile as a dream, and nothing's ever really as it seems. As it seems. As it seems. This life is as fragile as a dream, and nothing's ever